بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، وأفضل الصلاة وأتم التسليم على أكرم الخلق سيدنا وحبيبنا وشفيعنا ومولانا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. إنما أموالكم وأولادكم فتنة، وقال: وإنه لحب الخير لشديد. وقد قال حبيبنا الأعظم صلى الله عليه وسلم: ما ذئبان جائعان أرسل في غنم بأفسد لها من حرص المرء على المال والشرف لدينه، أو كما قال صلى الله عليه وسلم. وبعد، إسلام سعد درود شريف، اللهم صل على سيدنا وحبيبنا نبينا محمد. Most respected ulama ikram, honorable hafaz of the Quran Karim, elders and friends in Islam, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. We praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from the bottom of our hearts for the priceless gift of iman. That is such a great boon from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that an entire earth's surface filled with gold cannot equate to an item or an iota or an atom's weight of iman. And for this we say alhamdulillah ala ni'matil imani wal islam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, being our most wise and compassionate creator, after having placed insan in this world as a test, essentially Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made it incumbent that a person utilizes the resources of this world so as to exist in achieving his goal, which ultimately is the happiness, rida of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the greatest form of success in the akhirah, by entry into Jannah and being protected from Jahannam. And this is a condition which lasts for eternity. So as far as those means that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has provided for us in this world, in other words, material possessions, whether it is in the form of wealth, whether it is in the form of a comfortable home, a car, a family around which a person attains sukoon and tranquility, these are all favors of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the one hand, while on the other they also assume the form of a test from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So it can be said that as far as wealth is concerned, when we look into the manner that Allah Ta'ala has described it in the Quran, then we find the two forms of description: innama amwalukum wa awladukum fitnah, your wealth and your children are a fitna, a test from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We find in another instance, al-mal wal banun zinatul hayati dunya, wealth and your children are the adornments and temporary beautifications of this world. On the other hand, we find that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes it in very positive terms, وَإِنَّهُ لِحُبِّ الْخَيْرِ لَشَدِيدٍ, in mentioning the natural disposition of human nature, that he is profusely attracted to wealth, which Allah ta'ala uses the word khayr, which means goodness. And it is in the inherent and natural nature of man to be attracted to wealth and material possessions. زُيِّنَ لِلنَّاسِ حُبُّ الشَّهَوَاتِ مِنَ النِّسَاءِ وَالْبَنِينَ وَالْقَنَاطِيرِ الْمُقَنْطَرَةِ. This ayah testifies to that fact. So on the one hand, it is termed as fitna, a test from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that failing which a person can be brought to a very miserable end in this world as well as the hereafter. On the other hand, it is also termed as khair, a means of goodness. Essentially, furthermore, as far as wealth is concerned, there are two important stages in one's wealth. The means by which it has reached a person, the means and mannerism of earnings, and thereafter, once it has come into the property and ownership of a person, how does a person dispense of it? How does one execute that wealth? How does one spend it? In which avenues? Is it expired? So therefore we find that amongst the most important questions that will be posed to a person on the Day of Judgment, even before a person's feet can move from the place of resurrection, five of the greatest favors enjoyed by a person, one will be thoroughly questioned regarding these five favors. One is the moments of life that Allah Ta'ala has given us. Secondly, one's youthful years. Thirdly, the knowledge of deen that a person possessed, to what extent has it been put to practice? The most important and fundamental reason that you acquire the knowledge of deen, to know what my Allah wants of me in any given situation, is to put to practice. And the fourth and the fifth question, both pertaining to wealth in a similar regard as just described now, مِنْ أَيْنَ اكْتَسَبَ وَفِيمَ أَنْفَقَ. From which means, from which avenues did you acquire them? Were they from those things which Sharia has termed as halal and permissible? And after it had come into your possession as an amana, as a trust from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, how do you then spend that wealth? In what kind of things did you spend it? There are many avenues that are absolutely praiseworthy. The most essential, the basic needs and necessities of oneself and one's dependents. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, خَيْرُ مَا يُنْفِقُ الرَّجُلُ. The best of all expenditure is that which a person spends on oneself and one's dependents in fulfilling the basic needs and necessities. We take it a step further after understanding two important responsibilities of wealth, ensuring that they come from the correct sources, and thereafter ensuring that we spend it in the correct avenues. Furthermore, as far as acquiring wealth, the quantity, the amount, one is the basic minimum for one's and one's dependents' needs and necessities. In this regard, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said very emphatically and clearly, لَيْسَ لِبْنِ آدَمْ سِوَى هَذِهِ الْخِصَالِ. A person, if given the following, can claim to have been given the most fundamental needs of this world, بَيْتٌ يَسْكُنُهُ, a home in which a person can live with dignity and comfort, وَثَوْبٌ يُوَارِ عَوْرَتَهُ, clothing that can conceal one's private parts, وَجِلْفُ الْخُبْزِ وَالْمَاءِ, and the most basic form of subsistence, even if it means dry bread and water, enough to provide a person with remaining alive in a healthy condition. This is the basic minimum as mentioned by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So as far as this is concerned, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has even said, طَلَبُ قَسْبِ الْحَلَالِ فَرِيضَةٌ بَعْضَ الْفَرِيضَةِ. It is farad, incumbent upon a person, after the other fundamental fara'id of Islam, such as salah, zakat, hajj, to earn a halal earning, is from the fundamentals and basics which are farad upon an individual. For oneself and one's dependence, which the Sharia has clearly demarcated. Second category of quantity of wealth, any amount that comes in by halal means is totally permitted within Sharia. However, when it exceeds the limits and gets to the level of hirs or hawas, greed and avarice, then this has been very severely detested in Sharia. We find Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam setting the most perfect benchmark in this regard, in being the classical example of abstinence and zuhud from this dunya and temporary adornments that it contains. On an occasion, Abdullah bin Mas'ud radiallahu ta'ala says that when I visited Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Such was the simplicity of his bedding, which was made of a straw mat, that I saw the imprints of that mat on the sides of the Mubarak body of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and it was offered to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, shall we not make you a more comfortable bedding? And this is the leader of humanity and jinn in this world and in the hereafter, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, setting the barometer in the most perfect position in this regard, mali wa lid dunya, what do I have to do with amassing wealth and comforts and luxuries of this dunya? My example, ma ana illa karakibin, ma ana fi dunya illa karakibin istadalla tahta shajara thumma raha wa tarakaha. My example and similitude in relation to the comforts and luxuries of this world is like a rider who is going on to his destination, stops for a short while under a tree, under the shade of a tree, to merely take some rest, gain some strength, so that he may be able to utilize this to reach his ultimate destination, which for a mu'min is the success of the akhirah. Now one cannot deny, obviously, that wealth is a basic need and necessity. In this world, it is such a necessity that exists for a person even after death. And therefore we find that in the laws of inheritance, after a person dies, the very first thing that is done with a person's wealth is that the expenditure as far as the janazah is concerned, the kafan, the ghusl, the burial, the transporting of the janazah, these costs are taken out first and foremost from the estate of the deceased. Now, very, very importantly, once we have understood the fundamental responsibility of earning from halal, thereafter spending in halal, there are two categories of the quantity of wealth that a person can amass or put together, that which is the most basic and that which is in excess of that. Now, make no mistake, the spirit of Islam and the spirit of Shariat is that just as the Sharia desires a Muslim on an individual basis and the Ummah at large to be successful ultimately and eternally in the Akhirah, so does it desire that a person in this world lives with success and with happiness and with comfort. Many a times an abundance of wealth, while we have seen the Quran Kareem, we have seen Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam on numerous occasions warning us of the temptations and the downfall that wealth can be to a person. إِنَّ لِكُلِّ أُمَّةٍ فِتْنَةٍ وَفِتْنَةُ أُمَّتِي الْمَالِ. For every nation, for every ummah, there is a special test that has come upon them, and that which with which Allah Ta'ala has tested my ummah is the test of wealth. In such a beautiful similitude, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam explains by an example that the detrimental effects that an abundance of wealth and one not being able to digest it in the correct manner brings about, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says that picture the following example, and subhanallah, what a beautiful example. Ma dhibani ja'ani ursila fi ghanamin bi afsada laha min hubb al mar'i 'ala al mal wal hirsa min hirs al mar'i 'ala al mal wa sharafa li dinihi. That if you take two extremely hungry wolves, put them against a defenseless flock of sheep, we know what carnage they will wreak amongst the flock of sheep. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says that as far as your deen is concerned, the carnage that can come about in your deen because of two things are in no way less than that which is caused by two hungry wolves against a flock of sheep. And what are these two that can cause an absolute havoc, destruction in one's deen? One is a person's excessive love and greed for wealth, and the other is his love for status. As it is said in Arabic, حُبُّ جَاهِ, a person's love for status and one's dignity. These two things, in pursuit of them, can take a person to the extent of bringing about the destruction where he will compromise in his greed for wealth and his greed for status in society. will make him compromise the injunctions of Allah Ta'ala to such an extent that his deen will be highly compromised. And come the day of reckoning, when he stands up in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in pursuit of these two, he will find that I have broken many, many injunctions of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala along the way. As said, an abundance of wealth, when it is from halal and it's spent in the correct way, not only is this allowed, it is encouraged by Sharia. Many a person has attained his Jannah by means of this very same wealth, when it is acquired from halal. And a person, as my one respected Ustad, Mawlana Sulaiman Sahib Choksir, Dama Barakatuhum, says, that ensure that the wealth stays in the pocket and let it not get into the heart. Sayyiduna Uthman ibn Affan radiallahu anhu, about whom Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said, he has the honorary title Dhul Nurayn, having been honored in marriage to two daughters of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, one after the other. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Inna li kulli ummatin rafiq, inna li kulli nabiyin rafiq, wa rafiqi fil jannah Uthman. For every Nabi, there is a very, very special companion and friend. And my companion and friend in Jannah will be Uthman ibn Affan radiallahu anhu. And let us look at an example of how he understood the responsibility as far as wealth is concerned. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blessed him with an amazing amount of barakat and blessings in this regard. And when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, at the very critical juncture, prior to the expedition of Tabuk, was sitting on the minbar, and this was a very dire moment in Islamic history, encouraging the Jama'at to spend for this expedition towards the Roman Empire. Uthman ibn Affan radiallahu ta'ala an stood up and said, Alayya mi'atum min al-ibil bi ahlasiha wa aqtabiha. I commit 100 fully laden camels. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam further encouraged. He stood up once again and increased it to 200, and a third time stood up and said, 300 is my responsibility. He then also brought, concealed in his sleeves, 1,000 golden coins and placed it in the hands of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, committing it to this expedition. The narrator of the hadith says, it is as if I see Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam moving these gold coins around in his hand and saying, Ma qarra aw ma ala Uthman ma amila ba'da hadih. That whatever Uthman does after this day, no harm will come for him. This act of generosity and this act of welfare for the Ummah by means of his wealth has ensured and guaranteed him the highest status in this world as well as in the hereafter. Whatever wrongdoings, whatever shortcomings he may commit in his life hereafter, all of those are completely concealed on account of this great action of his. So we find here the classical example, Sayyidina Uthman radiallahu anhu, understanding this responsibility and understanding the means of digesting it. Now, as said, one of the most detrimental spiritual effects that can come to a person by means of wealth, the Sufiya Ikram have mentioned amazingly that a person who amasses wealth, but the greed of it and avarice gets into one's heart, and especially if it means a person goes and earns from that which is haram. The examples of haram in these times, by transactions that could have bearings of interest within them, usurping the rights of others at the time of distribution of inheritance, Sharia has clearly demarcated the portions of the heirs of a person after death. It is not something that we do logically and as we wish and desire. There is a specific ruku' in the Quran Kareem, in Surah An-Nisa, dedicated to the exact amount that should be given to the heirs after a person has passed on from this world. And a person then taking that which is the share of another inheritor of an heir would be actually, as the Quran says, filling one's belly with the coals of the fire of Jahannam. Earning from that which is inclusive of the property of other people, whether it is by means of corruption, whether it is by means of deception, and taking that, whether it is in the form of wealth or land or property, which actually belongs to another person in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or earning from businesses and transactions that are not permissible within Sharia, regarding such earnings, the Sufia have mentioned two very, very critical ill effects that they bring with them. Let us understand that wealth on one hand is not an objective on its own, it is a means that is utilized to fulfill an objective. Let us say, for example, a comfortable bed is not the objective. The objective of that is to get a sound and a healthy sleep. Food and drink are not the objectives. The objective behind them is to satiate and fill one's hunger and remove the pangs of hunger. A car, the objective is to go from point to point. The objective of a home and one's wife and children is to acquire tranquility and sukoon by means of them. The very word house in Arabic means maskan, a place of tranquility and sukoon. So in all of these, the objectives are the benefits that come out of these various forms of wealth. The Sufia have stated that if one's income is tainted with haram and polluted with that which is not permissible, the very first effect is that the barakat and blessings of the benefits of this wealth would not be seen. Therefore we find a very, very common complaint. I have the most comfortable and up to standard bed, but yet I'm not getting sleep at night. I have the most comfortable home. I have a wife and children, but yet there is no contentment and peace of mind, peace of heart. I am taking the best of medication, but yet my illness is not going away. So the answer to this can be found in the great wisdom of the Sufiya Ikram, who say that that wealth which is acquired from haram, the first ill effect is that a person is deprived of the barakat and blessings and benefit that comes with this wealth. The second that they have mentioned, and this is something that needs great reflection, you know, understand it in the line of another common complaint, that I toil day and night, I'm working my head off, but yet my family members, my wife, my children are not happy with me, they're constantly complaining, they are ungrateful. The Sufi have mentioned that the second ill effect of haram wealth which a person earns into one's name is that in acquiring it at the detriment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's command. Or simply put, as Sayyidah Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha wrote to Sayyidina Muawiyah radiallahu anhu, that when a person embarks on an action and in it is the disobedience of Allah ta'ala, but persists in it to gain the favor and happiness of creation, ultimately Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will put despisement in the hearts of those very same creation one is trying to please at the expense of Allah ta'ala's pleasure. On the other hand, a person embarks on an action that is fully in line with gaining the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, even if it means one's close family members are unhappy about that, ultimately Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will put the love and acceptance in the hearts of those very same people. So another common complaint is answered in this regard. When we complain that our wives, our children, our spouses, our husbands are unhappy with us, let us do some muhasabah, some deep reflection and pondering in this regard. Now we conclude with a most apt and beautiful and perfect similitude or example that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam had given, and in this is such great and deep wisdom. The hadith is mentioned in the Muslim Sharif. Sayyidina Abu Sa'id al-Khudri radiallahu anhu narrates that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was once giving us some advices and said, "Ma aqsha alaykum illa zahrat ad-dunya." The thing that I have the greatest fear for you, O my Ummah, in the coming generations, is the opening up of wealth and adornments of this temporary abode, the death which you shall fail, and it will bring about your downfall. A Sahabi asked Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, "Ala ya'ti al-khayr illa bil-khayr?" Or Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, logically, should it not be that wealth and affluency that apparently seems to be a positive will bring with it positive and only positive? Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam remained silent for a while and then asked him, "Please repeat your question." He repeated the same question. "Is it not that wealth which is a positive should bring with it only positive and benefits to a person?" Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam then went on to explain, and such a beautiful example which needs very deep reflection and pondering. Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam says that think about a pasture, a field, beneficial rains come on it. lush and green grass that seems to be of great benefit and blessings. Now the cattle would come, the cows would come and start grazing of that grass. It goes on grazing until such a time, امتلأت خاصرتها, until its belly is filled to the brim. It then very wisely, after drinking some water, moves away from that pasture, faces the sun, بالت واخترت. It relieves itself, the food is digested completely, and only then does it come back and continue to graze and eat once again, once the first grazing had been fully digested. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says that had this cow went on grazing continuously without thinking about digesting the food, that very same lush green grass would have been the cause of its death, or bringing it close to death at some time or the other in a very, very limited period. However, on the other hand, it has used wisdom, it has grazed until the belly was filled, but then moved away, digested the food completely, and only then went back to graze further on. Similarly, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says that whoever takes this wealth with all its haqq and rights, earning from halal and spending in halal, then this is of benefit to a person. On the other hand, a person who goes on amassing, not caring of the means from which it is coming, and thereafter squandering it in haram, in extravagances, then that very same wealth that could have been his salvation and his success and his dignity brings about his downfall. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guide me firstly, and all of us the ability to put to practice what has been said. وَآخِرُ دَعْوَانَا أَنِ الْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ